worth everybody here knowing about that, because the poor people are the ones that really suffer out of this, hoping to get ahead and just get deeper in debt. And so I want to follow up then with temptation as a lesson tonight. This is what it's all about. All of us have been tempted in one way or the other. We understand that there are three ways the devil can tempt us. We're told that the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life are things that are the way the devil tempts us. And then on top of those are the trials and tribulations that sometimes bother us. So when you think about temptation, maybe this will come to mind with regard to gambling, and that's an illustration of that. People are lusting after money, and they're greedy about that way. Well, temptation then is an enticement to sin. It'll take different avenues. Sometimes there'll be an ad with the Budweiser horses, and they're magnificent animals, and they're wonderful things to look at, but they're advertising beer. And you have the college kids that'll go to a bar, and they will watch the football game or the baseball game, and they're drinking, and all that is simply a temptation. And as I said, it becomes a way of life because they're so addicted to that sort of thing. So in temptation is an enticement to sin. We understand, first of all, in Genesis chapter 3, when you saw that the Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the one tree that they were not supposed to eat from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we don't know what fruit it was, but it was there. And Eve saw that it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise. That's the three: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the devil used that in an effective way. And Paul tells Timothy later on that he deceived her. And so temptation is often deceitful, and that's what happened with that. So in Genesis 3, we have the story of sin coming into the world for the first time. Then as you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about something that is really a revelation from the standpoint of people not always understanding exactly how bad it is to have these addictions. Beginning of verse 18 of 2 Peter 2, he says, "For when they," talking about these people that promise you things, "when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who actually escape from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." I can never read that passage without thinking about the drug dealers. And they're telling all these young people, I mentioned my brother, when he was in the eighth grade, a teacher gave him his first taste of marijuana. And you see that sort of temptation there that becomes a way of life. And so here these people say, now if you want to really be free, free from all these laws, free from all the regulations, just take this dope and you'll be high, you'll be good, you'll be free. And they are the ones who are already in bondage. And we see what an effect that can have upon people as you look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And then 1 John chapter 2 talks about what happened in the Garden of Eden with regard to everyone, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So Eve saw the fruit was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise. And she ate of it. Then she gave it to Adam. And they both were cursed because of that. They had to leave the garden because of the sin that was involved in that. And this temptation is something that every one of you and I know has felt that pull, that draw. I want to do something because I see something, I hear something, I want something that would please me. Not right. But now becomes this loophole theology. I want to do something, so I'm going to find a way around that. We hear a lot about homosexuality, and the Bible is very clear about that, as it being a sin that it is, the lust of the flesh. But they find ways around that, or try to, and many, many people now are getting involved in that. And so the thing that we look at is this temptation, and the devil is the source of this. He's very real, he's very active, As I've said so many times, He knows your name. He knows your weakness. And He'll find a way to put that in front of you so that you're going to be tempted. Now again, the fact that you're being tempted is not a sin, because all of us are going to be tempted. But you don't have to obey that. You don't have to gratify that temptation, and we can avoid that as well. So in Matthew chapter 4, and you notice how lengthy this trail of sin is, all the way from the Garden of Eden through Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, and now in 1 John chapter 2, all of these things are mentioned. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. That tells us, number one, that the nature of man has not changed. We're still susceptible to all those things. And at the same time, we recognize that this is the way people are drawn into sin. And unless we develop, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the weapons of our warfare and how we ought to put on the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness and all these things that are given to us to help us withstand the temptation. Jesus was tempted. Now, there have been a lot of debates about that. I don't try to make anything out of it except what the Bible said. The devil drew the lure in front of His face that He could rule the nations. The devil drew the lure in front of Him with regard to the pride. The angels will pick you up before you dash your foot upon the stone. And he used the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give you all those kingdoms. I don't believe that was an empty threat. I believe the devil could do it. He was actually tempted. But what Jesus did when He's tempted is what we have to do when we're tempted. We have to remember who we are. Jesus remembered who He was. Have to remember that I want to please my Father. And I have to recognize that I want to go to heaven. And Jesus understood all those things and perhaps a whole lot more. And He just said no. Of course, He quoted Scripture. And as we follow the example of Jesus Christ, when the devil pulls that in front of our nose, whether it's gambling or something else, how many marriages have been destroyed because a man sees a woman that's not his wife and he pursues that woman until he catches her? That's temptation. And that's the way the devil zeroes in on people's weaknesses and captures them and brings them into bondage. So we need to understand that temptation is ongoing. Now, I'll have to admit, as you get into your 80s, it's not as tempting as it used to be. Some of your abilities are gone, but the devil is still going to tempt you. Doesn't make any difference, and we have to recognize that that's the case. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, we have other passages that are talking about this temptation, and we need to be prepared for it because it's going to happen. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 5, Paul said, for this reason, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Here's writing to the Thessalonian church. He was afraid the tempter had tempted that whole church. It's possible that that happens, of course, and people go astray. So these are the things that the devil's going to be doing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God makes us the promise that we're not going to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear, but will, with the temptation, provide the way of escape. Now, that's not miraculous. He doesn't provide any miraculous thing. But, for example, the lust of the flesh, God has provided men and women with marriage where the flesh can be satisfied within the realm of what God says is appropriate and right and righteous. So if you look, for every temptation, there's a way of escape. There's pride of life, for example. Rather than learn a lot of things to speak against God, learn a lot of things to embrace God and His truth. There's an answer for every temptation if we look for it. And He's not going to tempt us beyond what we're able to bear. Now, this takes into effect the Calvinists, because the Calvinists say that we're going to sin and we can't help it. That we have original sin stamped in us and we're going to sin and we can't do anything but sin until we have this direct operation of the Holy Spirit. So this answers that, because we're not in that kind of a situation. Now, the trials. We need to recognize that life just has certain trials. You have financial trials, you have health trials, you have family trials. You have all these various kinds of things that cause pain and anguish and anxiety. And the devil is using that. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and I have on various occasions, the providence of God that helps us. There's also the providence of the devil that would ensnare us. And so sometimes through the natural things of life, families and situations of life, the devil will put a trial and burdens on you, and you're going to hurt. I've been there. There have been times when I just didn't think I could hold my head up because it hurt so much. There are times when you just wish it would disappear because it hurt so much. And I know that I'm not unique. I know that everybody has trials. There are some times when you just want to butt your head against a wall because it hurts so bad and would drag you down and discourage you. And that's a devil clawing down your back. So you've got these two things. You've got the temptations, you have trials and tribulations. And of course we look back at Job, and he's a good example of that. I received criticism one time when I said that tribulation was not the main theme of Job, and I don't believe that it is. So let me explain. The devil was making a charge against Job that he only served God because it was convenient and God had made him wealthy. And that was the charge. That's the charge the devil makes against you. That you only serve the Lord when it's convenient for you. And you take away all these riches and you take away all these pleasant things and he'll deny you to your face. Well, now that's when the persecution came in, because God allowed the devil to suffer, make Job suffer. But the point is, here's the main thing worldwide. The devil is saying against us, the only reason that we serve God is because it's good and convenient. If you take away the things of life, they'll deny you to the face of God. We're all proving that to be wrong tonight. Christians prove that wrong every day. When the devil puts stuff in front of us that are trials and tribulations, they discourage us, they hurt. That's when the devil is working on you to try to get you to throw away your faith. And the terrible thing was that Job's wife said, "Curse God and die." And that would be a trial, and as well as other things. So here's a difficulty, a hardship that tests us. In Genesis 22 and verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac.'" Now, notice he had made promises to Abraham that through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. They were going to inherit the land of Canaan and there'd be a mighty nation. Those three promises. And here in Abraham's mind, "Well, God, you told me you're going to give me those things, but now you want to take away my only son. So take your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer to them as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you." That was a test. Now we understand that God did not make him follow through with that, but it was a test. That was something that people all over Canaan did at that time. They offered. You know, right now when a guy will dig through the ruins and he will go to the foundation of a house over in Canaan, many times they'll find little bitty skeletons of babies that were offered as a sacrifice to try to appease the gods for that family in that house. Yes, they did that. Abraham was familiar with that because they did it around him. It was a test of him, and he loved God. He was going to do what God told him to do. But then that wonderful thing that when he raised the knife, now in Abraham's mind, you understand, and the Hebrew letter brings this out, that in his mind he had already killed his son. Because it said he knew that God could bring him back from the dead. So in Abraham's mind, he had decided to obey God. And that's one of the reasons that God called him faithful. Because he was ready to obey God through that test. And he did that. So here's the things then. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, Lest I should be exalted above measure. We studied this in class last week with Brother Joel. Above measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So you have these kind of problems that happen, and they're testing. Come right in, please. And just feel free to have a seat. So we have these tests and trials and tribulations, and as we do those things, we recognize they hurt. Now, I don't know what that did to Paul, but he prayed three times for it to be taken away from him, and he was not allowed to do that. Again, Revelation 2, verse 10. Here's the Apostle John saying, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw you, some of you, into prison that you may be tested. You'll have tribulation 10 days. That is a short time, not 1,000 years. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life." That really happened. They were put in prison. Some of them were killed. Some of them put to death. And that had to hurt, not just from the standpoint of the death itself, but the families that were involved. And that was a test of that person's faith. Now, thankfully, we've never had to do that. And I just wonder what would happen to the church today if we had to have that kind of persecution again. So we need to understand and be aware that these trials and tribulations will certainly sometimes do that. And there's another example in Exodus 16, verse 4. "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven to you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Now, the rule was that you have to pick up enough for your food each day of the week for 6 days, and the seventh day you don't do it, because on the sixth day you gather enough for 2 days, so you won't be doing that on the Sabbath day. There was a test. See, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were just a bunch of slaves. They didn't have the morals, the ethics, the things that they should have to be the kingdom of God under in Israel. And so these were the testing. As they came out, God received, gave them the Ten Commandments and the things like this in Exodus 16:4. He was educating them, lifting them up to be a nation again. So they would finally be a nation, but they were tested. They were tested. The same thing is going to be true here with us. It's not that we are Jews or in the land of Canaan or anything of that nature, but something might happen to you this week that's hurtful. Something might happen to you that tests you. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to serve God or if I'm not going to serve God? Those are things that somehow we'll be tested and have to understand whether or not we're going to be faithful to God. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. So this is the lesson for tonight, to recognize trials and tribulations and temptations. And they will certainly have you in mind. If in this coming week something happens to you and you're tested, would you remember this lesson? And to recognize that Jesus said that you'll be tested because He wants to know that your faith is real. And thankfully we can do that. We can resist the temptations, and we can understand exactly how to overcome our trials and tribulations. I know the lives of some of you, and I understand some of the things that's happened in your life. And I recognize that your faith rose to the occasion. And that's what faith is for. You rise to the occasion, you overcome the tribulations and trials, and you're stronger on the other side, but you have to have the faith that overcomes those kinds of things. If you're here tonight and not a child of God, we encourage you to become a Christian tonight by obeying the gospel. This is a test. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to repent of your sins, confess His precious name, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? This is what we have to do to become a child of God. And then you have a zero painted on your back, or a target painted on your back by the devil. Do you realize you've got a target back there, and the devil is looking for you, looking at you, and he wants to shoot at that target? But faith in Christ will overcome. So if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, please let us know tonight as we stand together and sing the invitation song.